Good morning, Maranatha. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. It's time for Sunday Morning Alive, a Sunday morning sermon right here on our website. Now, Sunday Morning Alive doesn't mean it's part of our live service. There are parts of that you can go to and some you can listen to. But here, we are making this broadcast and calling it Sunday Morning Alive because it's all based upon the Word of God. And the Bible said the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. That word quick doesn't mean fast. It means it's alive. It's living. And that's why Jesus said, the words that I speak to you are different. They are spirit and they are life. So we want to get some life-giving word in us today as God's children. And if you're not a child of God, if you're not a Christian, please stay tuned to this broadcast as our special guest and see what we are so excited about. Jesus. What is it about Jesus that causes it such a reaction? Sometimes it's such a negative reaction. But to us who know Him as our Sovereign and Savior, amen, it is the most positive event that has ever occurred in our life. Amen. To the world, the Bible said, the preaching of the cross is foolishness, but unto us who are saved, it is entirely different. It is the power of God. It is that message received and acted on that releases the power of God to save us. Hallelujah. Deliver us from darkness and translate us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of life and light today. So I want to bring you a message about Him today, and in particular, His death for us upon the cross. The title of the message today is No Ordinary Man and No Ordinary Death. Dear friend of mine, the man dying on that cross was like no other man on earth. He was God's own son. Now, we're all the sons of God in the sense of creation. He's the Father of all living. Yes, He is. But this is not the same. This is His Son, the second person of the Godhead, one with Himself. Jesus said, I and my Father, I am the Son of God, but I and my Father are one. And when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. That's no ordinary man. No ordinary man, no matter how great and how good, how anointed or appointed, could possibly say, I and my Father, the God of the universe, are one. And when you've seen me, you've seen Him. Jesus said that. So many things He did indicated clearly that He was God in flesh. He was God incarnate, no ordinary man dying on that cross, and no ordinary death was achieved on that cross. Listen, He was, He is, and always will be the Son of the Living God. God incarnate, Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah. Praise God. This is a mystery. Great is the mystery, the Bible said, of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, and the man dying on the cross was God in the flesh. And therefore, it is said biblically of Him, scripturally of Him, to wit, God was in Jesus Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Where did that occur? Where did this reconciliation take place? It took place when Jesus paid our sin debt by suffering, dying, bleeding out on that old rugged cross today. No ordinary man, no ordinary death that He was dying. His death was like no other death. God confirmed His death with supernatural events, declaring Him to be the very Son of the living God. I'm going to just read two scriptures real quickly. I'm picking and choosing. I'm not trying to take them out of context, but to make this particular point this morning. Luke 23:44-45. It says, "And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." The sun became darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent. The Bible said it was rent from top to bottom. It was like tearing up the old contract and establishing a brand new covenant. Praise God. That veil that said, keep out danger. You cannot approach a holy God without consequences. You would be in danger of death by coming behind this veil. Unless you were a high priest appointed to do that once a year and went through ceremonial cleansings and washings. Listen, and still it was dangerous. This was no ordinary man that was dying on that cross, and no ordinary death. And the Bible said in Matthew 27:51-53, "And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. They broke open, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection." Listen, friend, this is no ordinary death, and this is no ordinary man. "And they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Don't skip over that. I'm telling you what's about to happen. The rapture, the snatching away, the catching away of the church is not unprecedented. We have a precedent for that. Jesus rose, praise God, and those that were saved, the saints of God, hallelujah, they came out of the grave, and they physically, bodily, these were not ghosts. I know it's Halloween season and there's going to be a lot of ghostly stuff going on. This was not ghostly stuff. This was not no ordinary man, dear friend, and this was not an ordinary death. And it wasn't just extraordinary, it was way beyond any man who has ever walked on planet Earth. This was God in flesh. This was God incarnate. And he was also our sacrifice lamb simultaneously. As a man, in behalf of mankind who had fallen, become helpless and hopelessly lost, he became, amen, our go-between, paying our sin debt in our behalf because he never sinned. Scripture is clear. This is pretty unique. This is way beyond unique. That nobody can say this but Jesus. Not one of us could possibly ever attain what he said about himself or what the scriptures declared about him. He that knew no sin, never did sin as a human being, just like you and me with flesh and blood. Amen. We blame Thomas because he doubted. It's hard not to doubt. At least have a pause when you see they took a man down off of that cross. He's no ordinary man. Praise God. Amen. Because he rose on the third day. He came out of the grave on the third day. Death could not conquer him because sin did not conquer him. Hallelujah. He that knew no sin became made like sin, took our sins, in fact, upon himself, paid our sin debt on that cross. He wasn't punished for his sin. He was punished for our sin. But as our sacrifice lamb, his blood had to be 100% sinlessly pure. Thank God it was. And that's what gave his sacrifice such power with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God for the shed blood of the sinless one in our behalf. Glory to the Lamb. Thomas, doubting Thomas. Listen, we've all had our doubts. Thomas was just like us. How could this be? How could this be? Amen. He's looking at Jesus, flesh in flesh and blood. This is a bodily resurrection. This is not some spiritual thing, some ghostly thing. This is the man that died on the cross, in the tomb, entombed for 3 days, standing before him. And yet he could not believe his eyes. He was trying to process all of that because of the supernatural occurrence that is taking place here. This is a real man. And Jesus said, come on, Thomas. I'll tell you, listen, if you have the heart to believe, but you're having trouble believing, God will help you with that. If he sees it's in your heart, he will help you with the problems you're having believing. Praise God. He said, come on, Thomas, come over here. I want you to put your finger through the holes in my hands. The hand was considered the wrist and the palm and the fingers. So it was through the wrist, that part of the hand, still part of the hand, that they pierced so that the nails wouldn't tear through and the hands flop down. No, they went right through the wrist. There's a bone going across that the hand is attached by. That bone held him fast on both sides. Amen. Put your finger through the hole in my hands and thrust your hand in the spear where the spear has pierced my side. Put your hand there. Take your hand and slide it in and pull it back out. Amen. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones. Glory be to God. You want to know how Jesus came out of the grave? He was a man. He died as a man on the cross, like no other man. And he arose from the dead, a man like no other man. I know Lazarus rose from the dead. I get that. I know Jairus' daughter was raised from the dead by Jesus. But here's the difference. Lazarus died one day. Jairus' daughter lived out her life and died one day. Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. Hallelujah. He told John the Revelator in the book of Revelation, I am he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Praise God. This is no ordinary man, and this is no ordinary death. Listen, crucifixion, dear friend, today is not about what they, the Jews, did on that day to Christ. It's not about what they, the Romans, did to Christ. It's not about what Pilate authorized. All that is part of it, but that's not what it's really all about. Disloyal disciples. It's really about what the disciples, disloyal disciples, did to Christ. Now, it's not about that either. Amen. Peter denied him, but that's not what put him on the cross, held him on the cross. It's about we. It's about us. It's about our sins he has taken on himself. It is our punishment that he's enduring so we can be forgiven. Listen, dear friend of mine, what they did to Jesus on that cross is it caused a suffering like no one has ever suffered. What they did to him was so awful, but the worst part of it was not the pain they inflicted on him, but it was his cry wasn't, oh, the pain is unbearable. You know what he cried from the cross? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He died. Yes, the pain is terrible to even consider. We can't imagine what kind of pain that he was in. Crucifixion is a tortured death, a slow, tortured death, no relief from the pain. Listen, but he died without the comfort of God, without the comfort of his Father. He died as a man forsaken of God. Why hast thou forsaken me? He died alone in a spiritual sense, and it's a terrifying, terrifying death to die alone, without God's comfort, without God's grace, without the sense of God's presence, to die absolutely separated, lost, dying, without any seeming help from above. Of course, God did not forsake him, but he didn't sense the presence of his Father, even though he and his Father were one. He died as a man forsaken of God. And that's why he has such compassion on people who are lost today, who are going to die that way, face the judgment that way, go to hell that way, without the presence of God, separated eternally from God's presence, and banished from the presence of God and punished for eternity. Jesus knows what it feels like to be separated from God and to die without him and his comfort. Listen, that's why he stayed on the cross in spite of the shame and the pain that it brought him. He stayed on the cross because he knows without that sacrifice, there is no hope for we who have sinned against God, who cannot pay our own sin debt. He was paying it for us so we could be saved. That's why the judgment's going to be so severe. This kind of love, this kind of sacrifice, this extent that God went to redeem us to himself, reconcile us to himself. If we reject that offer, if we treat the blood of Jesus as something that's worthless, and his death is a fable and a fairy tale, and we let that death that is a fact confirmed by God with a supernatural darkness, with earthquakes that shook the earth, with rocks bursting open, graves bursting open, saints that have died preceding when he rose, amen, coming back to life. All of this occurring is a confirmation. No ordinary man, no ordinary death. God reaching out, amen, to fallen man to come and be saved. The provision has been made. The price has been paid for our sin debt. Oh, dear friend of mine, how shall we escape the certain judgment to come? The wrath of God. How shall we escape the final judgment? How shall we escape the very fires of hell? How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation as this? It should shake us to our core. It should make us want to run to Jesus, not run from Jesus, not put some stupid, petty sin. Oh, yeah, it's a big sin. I understand it's got a hold of us like a giant, like the claw of some giant prehistoric pterodactyl. Amen. Holding us in its grip. Listen, friend, I'm going to tell you something. The day you want to be free, the day you decide, I don't want to be held in bondage to the devil any longer. I don't want to be held in sin's dread sway any longer. The day you decide, amen, to get out of that prison and run to Jesus, you'll find that God will supernaturally open those prison doors. He the Son sets free is free indeed. This is real freedom, praise God. Amen. These sins will put you in a cell, close the door, and throw away the key. But Jesus comes to break you out, praise God, and keep you out, and keep you safe from the wrath to come. This was no ordinary man, no ordinary death. Listen, Isaiah 53:5 said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. C.H. Spurgeon, amen, talked about this cry of Jesus from the cross. Listen to the cry. Matthew 27:45-46, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, darkness came over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Story is told also of Martin Luther. They both commented on this. It said Martin Luther studied this text one day. He just sat and stared at the word for hours. He said nothing and wrote nothing. He silently pondered this anguished expression. Suddenly he stood up and exclaimed, God, forsaken by God, how can it be? I love that song, Amazing Love, because it says, Amazing Love, how can it be that you, my King, would die for me? But more amazing than a king, a potentate, someone of that level and that strata of society dying for some poor begging sinner, begging for mercy. Oh, that would be wonderful. But beyond that is our very Creator, the God we sinned against, found a way to come and pay our sin debt in Christ Himself. This is a mystery, of course it is, but oh, the majesty, the glory, that God would love us enough to give His only begotten Son, and in so doing, give Himself for us. How can God took on flesh? And hallelujah, amen. That man on the cross was like no other man. Oh, and that death he died was like no other man's death. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? C.H. Spurgeon, called the Prince of Preachers, he also struggled with this cry from the cross when he wrote, here you may look into a vast abyss, and though you strain your eyes and gaze till sight fails you, yet you perceive no bottom. It is measureless, unfathomable, inconceivable, this anguish of the Savior on your behalf and mine is no more to be measured and weighed than the sin which needed it or the love which endured it. We will adore where we cannot comprehend. Hallelujah. Dear friend of mine, my goal today is not for us to comprehend everything, but instead to fall on our faces in humble adoration. Allow this shout to startle, stagger, and even surprise you. There are mysteries in this yell out from the Lord that I certainly cannot explain. But one thing I can explain, and one thing I do declare, He was paying my sin debt, and He was paying your sin debt. Praise God. I love that song. I bought a debt I couldn't pay. It was growing every day. Jesus paid it all for me. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to declare Jesus Christ to you today. Declare a God that loved you enough to take on flesh, come to our planet Earth, leave the grandeur, the glory, the angels, the purity of heaven, come to this sin-darkened, sin-stained world, lay in a filthy old manger. Oh, yes, it wasn't pristine. It wasn't like you see at the little manger scene. And the cross wasn't pristine. Little dot here on the hand, a little stripe on the side. No, it was a pathetic, pitiful, terrible death He was dying. Oh, but dear friend, He did it all because He loved us enough. He loved us enough to find a way to save us in spite of our sin, in spite of ourself, in spite of Satan, who wants us in hell with him. Amen. I don't know what consolation it will be, but somehow or another, he wants to take as many people with him to hell as he possibly can. But Jesus came. Satan came. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life, to give it to you more abundantly. Praise God. Oh, dear friend of mine, today, if you're a Christian today, I pray that you will fall in love with Jesus all over again. We used to sing it, I keep falling in love with him, over and over and over again. Every time we receive Holy Communion, it's another opportunity to look at the cross and the man on the cross and the death he died through that cross and by that cross and have the first love rekindled. Hallelujah. And fall in love with him all over again. Praise God. Amen. Dear friend of mine, it's time for the first love to burn bright as it has ever burned in our hearts as we thank God for Jesus and thank Jesus for the cross. Hallelujah. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your personal Savior, I know that he's calling you. I know that he's calling you. I know that the Holy Spirit is right there where you are. And I know that he's calling you. I know. How do you know, Pastor? How do you know? You don't know me. You don't know how deep I am into sin. You don't know what I have done. You're right, I don't. But God does. And in spite of all of that, he sent his son to pay your sin debt and mine. And Jesus paid it all. And all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. So I pray today, as we declare once again, this is no ordinary man, no ordinary death. A sin debt was paid, a sacrifice was made. God accepted it. And to prove it, he raised him from the dead. Ah, but it's not just for him. Our sins were so forgiven. Hallelujah. That the promise is when he comes and the trump sounds and a shout is given, the dead in Christ shall rise and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Oh, thank God for the mystery. Thank God for the majesty. Thank God for this puzzling, mind-boggling event. God coming to save those who have sinned against him. The Creator finding a way to pay the sin debt for his fallen creation. If that isn't love, then there's no stars in the sky and the ocean is dry. Come to Jesus today. Run to Jesus today and be safe from the wrath to come.